Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 20. We'll dismiss our children at Children's Church. I'm sorry, our children's program, I guess. And I want to welcome the Buckleys with us. Their two kids are going out, so they're gone, but you can see them later. But well, this is William Buckley. No, that's the more famous Buckley. This is Brian and his wife, Jennifer Buckley, and they are veteran missionaries now to China. What part of China did you guys serve?
We served in Beijing.
Wow. Small little town over there. I've heard of that place. How many millions in Beijing? 23 million. New York has, what, 16 million? Am I thinking right? So almost double New York. Is that pretty, well, 16 and, yeah, not, yeah, okay. Three people in the world that can do math, right? Those that can do it, those that can't, you know, so. Okay, but anyway, good to have you folks with us. And they're with Open Door Baptist Missions with Morningside. And had to come home a little early from the mission field for health issues, but that's taken care of now and looking to go back. Is that right? So he's left a prayer card. If you leave a couple more for us, it'd be great. So I've never had to ask missionaries to leave their prayer cards. They are usually, they leave them with us. So appreciate you coming down and spending time with us tonight. Psalm 20. I want to read this and then make some comments about this. Psalm 20 says, "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the Son of the name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. Selah. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation. In the name of our God, we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, let the King hear us when we call." How many of you have at least one verse underlined in that psalm in your Bible? Let me guess. Is it verse 7? Some trust in chariots and some. I love that verse. That is great. I've entitled this message tonight, Seven Blessings. Seven Blessings. And we look at these phrases, they're blessings, and we're going to talk about it in just a minute. But does anybody know what the national anthem of England is? Anybody know that? God Save the King. It happens to be, but right now it's a queen, so they sing God's, yeah, they can change that. Yeah, it's God Save the King or the Queen, however it is. I want to read this to you. I'm going to skip one stanza, but it's just interesting. I don't know if I've ever, I think I've probably heard the music. It's to a tune that we're familiar with. Yeah, My Country, that's a tune of My Country, 'Tis of Thee. But let me read the words. God save our gracious Queen, long live our noble Queen. God save the Queen, send her victorious, happy and glorious, long to reign over us. God save the Queen. Second stanza. Thy choicest gifts in store on her be pleased to pour. Long may she reign. May she defend our laws and ever give us cause to sing with heart and voice, God save the Queen. Now this is where it gets a little politically incorrect in our days now. Listen to the next stanza. O Lord, our God, arise, scatter thine enemies and make them fall. Confound their politics, frustrate their knavish tricks. On thee our hopes we fix. God save us all. Not in this land alone, but be God's mercies known from shore to shore. Lord, make the nations see that men should brothers be and form one family the wide world over. And then the last stanza, I thought this was interesting. I didn't do a history search about when they added this, but interesting. Let me read it. Lord, grant that Marshall Wade may by thy mighty aid victory bring. May he sedition hush and like a torrent rush rebellious Scots to crush. God save the Queen. I wonder if the people in Scotland sing that. I don't know. I mean, I'm curious, but it's very interesting. Now, why would I read the national anthem right after we read Psalm 20? Anybody see a comparison? Say, Pastor, you do a lot of things. I have no idea why you do. Okay, that may. I hope that's not the case. So, anybody see a similarity? Somebody said that if Israel had a national anthem, this might be a good candidate for that. Isn't that interesting? Look at Psalm 20. The Lord, hear thee in the day of trouble. Now the question is, who is the thee in that verse? Who is he talking about? And I think we can see now, primarily, we see this is, you know, we see through the Psalms, this is primarily David, or I should say primarily, it's originally David in his life experiences, crying out to the Lord. So it does apply to David, but it also ultimately points to someone beyond David, does it not? Who else does it point to? Jesus, the Messiah, the King of Kings. So that applies to the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the King, and also as a believer, this can also apply to us. So I want to look at that threefold application. It does apply to David in his circumstances of life. It does apply to the Messiah who ultimately fulfilled these words. And let me ask you a question. As we read verse 1, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. There's the Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, hear thee. Here is, I think, a reference to the Messiah, Jesus. And how can Jehovah listen to someone else? Well, it's because Jesus is separate from God. So wait a second, I know he is God. That's true, but he is also separate from God. See, that doesn't make sense. That's what the Bible teaches, though. Both of them go together. Jesus is God, but he's separate from God. Does that make God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? So that's an interesting thought there. So I want to ask you a question. Did Jesus pray for himself? Sure, he prayed for himself. What do you think, as we have some of his prayers, now he did the high priestly prayer, he prayed for us, but when he prayed for himself, what was the request that Jesus prayed? Can you characterize what he was praying for? He said, if it be possible, let this cup pass. Yeah, in the Garden of Gethsemane. Yes. Okay, that for sure. That's a prayer on the cross, but was he praying for himself? He wasn't praying for himself in that prayer, though.
He prayed for his disciples in John 19. That whole chapter is his prayer.
17, yeah, John 17, yeah. But how did Jesus pray for himself? We say he prayed for himself. Did he pray? Yes. How did he pray?
He prayed that he would do his Father's will.
He did. He prayed that he would do God's will. He prayed for strength, for for filling, for him to express the Father's message. I mean, Jesus prayed for himself. Now, would he encourage, or did he ever encourage other people to pray for him while he's on this earth? Did he ever pray, encourage other people to pray for him? In the Garden of Gethsemane, remember he said, "Tarry with me while I go and pray." I think he was asking, "Would you pray? Would you pray for me?" And his disciples, I don't know if they said, "Puh, he's got it, you know. He's got it, you know. I'm sure everything will be fine." They went to sleep, and we give them a hard time. We would have gone to sleep too, probably. But Jesus was, I believe, he was asking them, "Would you pray for me? Join with me as I pray," because he was coming to his darkest hour in his ministry, as far as accomplishing God's will there. So the Messiah, he ultimately fulfilled these words. And also for the believer, this applies to the believer. So we can say three groups of people this applies to. If you want to think of it this way, King David, King Jesus, and King Christian. Are we called priests and kings in Peter? So King Jesus, King David, King Jesus, and King Christian. So this is what it applies to. So I want to look through this psalm here and think about those threefold applications. Look at the first blessing. We have seven blessings. Blessing number one is, may the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. Now, first of all, let's think about David. Did David ever get into any trouble? Oh, my goodness. David had a lot of enemies, did he not? I mean, you think about, David had a lot of enemies, but he had them for the right reasons. And David, I believe, was uniquely suited. He was a warrior, and he could fight these enemies. Some people, they say they're scared of their own shadow. David wasn't that way. He was a man's man, and he stood up for that. But he was uniquely suited for conflict. I believe, as we look at David, he had a very strong protective nature. He wanted to protect. As a shepherd, he protected the flock against the lion and the bear. When he walked out to see his brothers on the battlefield, here was a Goliath, a big giant of a man, attacking his God. He wanted to protect the name of his God. You remember when he was watching Nabal's sheep? He was protecting them. And then, of course, that leads in another part. I think David also had a strong sense of justice. I mean, that's not right. I mean, that, you know, sometimes that's a powerful motivating force in our life, isn't it? I heard the story, just was it last Saturday, that the word came out that there was a group coming to Greenville, and they're going to take down the Confederate statue in the seminary. How many of you heard about that? They were going to come, they're coming in. I understand they're getting bussed in from Atlanta. Well, we have some patriotic people, sons of Confederacy, were out there in their camos and AR-15s, and they said, you're not going to take this statue down. And the police were there too, you know. But, you know, it's very interesting. When you say, this isn't right, I mean, that's a strong motivation to us many, many times. And David had that. So when we're blessing him, praying for King David, said, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. That was a wonderful, wonderful blessing. Now, let's think about Jesus. Jesus prayed during his day of trouble. Why is that? Why was that necessary? Why was it necessary for Jesus to pray? Jesus is eternally the Son of God. But we see that Jesus is eternally submissive to God the Father. You think about this. Jesus is in nature equal with God. He's an equal with priorities and everything about him, his attributes, and equal with God, yet he submits himself to the will of God the Father. There's that unity and there's that division, the mystery of the Trinity, that we have to hold both sides of those. So, but at the Garden of Gethsemane, he was dependent on the Father's strength. So may the Lord help thee in the day of trouble. That was the day, Jesus' day of trouble, the darkest hours in the Garden of Gethsemane. But then as a believer, what is our day of trouble? Should we not be as dependent as Jesus was on God the Father? Should we not be more dependent on God than we are? I mean, how many times do we go through the day and say, I got my plans, I've done all of the preparation, I got it. And then we forget sometimes to ask the Lord to help. And then things blow up in our face and you say, you know what, I probably should have prayed. You know, we're kind of slow, at least I'm kind of slow in that area. I don't know about you guys, but I'm slow to get it in my head. I can't do anything with Christ. So we need to depend on God through prayer. So that is a wonderful prayer for the believer. Did I say something in a weird? Without Christ. Yes, okay, without Christ. Yes, thank you. Thank you. I think her hearing is going back there. We need to pray for her, but... So may the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. Second blessing. Oh, by the way, what's our day of trouble? You know, in our American civilization, what's our day of trouble? I'm not getting Wi-Fi. Oh, my goodness, what's going on, man? I'm having a rough day today. I mean, this is bad. Or my cell phone reception is horrible. That really messed you up, especially if you're following it, you know, with using your maps. I remember we'd moved back here about a year or so, and we were going to go visit somebody on the east coast of North Carolina, and I was following my GPS on my map, and we got out somewhere in eastern North Carolina, and I knew I'm supposed to go northeast from there, but my GPS, my reception went out. I had no map, and I'm looking at this road. I know I'm supposed to go northeast, but I didn't know if that road went this way and turned right, and this road went that way and turned left. I had no idea which way to go. And it was interesting how we kind of got through that. We depend on our cell phones, so we can have a day of trouble in that time. But really, our day of trouble is fighting sin in our life, is it not? When we are fighting sin. But I can be assured that God will hear me in the time of trouble. When I'm dealing with me and my sin nature, that's the time I need his help. So may the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. What a wonderful prayer that we can access as well. Number two, the second blessing. The second part, may the name of the God of Jacob defend thee. The name of the God of Jacob, his name is his character. God's character is revealed in his name. David, you think about this. Did God answer this prayer? The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Did David get that answer to that prayer? Did God defend David? Yes. How do we know? He died an old man. Now, did he have a lot of trouble going through? He did. He had a lot of issues. He had to run. Well, he had to flee. He had to get out of there several times. He was in some tight scrapes, as we like to say. But God defended him. So David was protected. And the question is, if God is protecting David, why did he have to run? You know, you notice I'm amazed at David's life. God gave him a promise, you're going to be the next king. And yet when Saul threw a javelin, he ducked. I mean, you know, he could have said, I'm Superman, you know, I'm not going to die until God is done with me. I mean, he could have done that, but he didn't. We had a little boy up in Virginia that had watched Superman on TV and realized that he thought he was Superman, got out in front of a car coming down the road and held his hand, I mean a little four-year-old, and holding his hand out, and somebody had to come and get him out of the road, you know. So David didn't do that. So if God protected him, why did he have to run so much? Let me tell you this way. God protected David, enabling him to fulfill his carefully crafted plan for David. God allowed him in those circumstances, shaping and molding his character, but he did protect him. What about Jesus? Does this apply to Jesus? The name of the God of Jacob, defend thee. Did God protect his son Jesus? Yeah, you can't say, no, he didn't. Of course he did. But wait a second. Jesus died on the cross. Did God protect Jesus even through the cross? I think we have to put it this way. God protected Jesus to enable him to do exactly the plan he had for him. How does this apply to us? Will God protect us? Yes, he will defend us. Yes. Does that mean we're going to live into our 80s and 90s? Not necessarily. We read of martyrs all the time that died for the faith. Did God protect them? He enabled them to fulfill his plan for them. You know, we only have a short time on this earth. We don't know how much time we have. Some people die in their 20s, others die younger than that. But God has a plan, and we will be able to do exactly what God has for us. And he will enable us, protect us through that. And then if we do face death, we know we have eternity to rejoice with our Heavenly Father. So there's the prayer. The name of the God of Jacob, defend thee. The third blessing. Oh, by the way. Let's flip over to John 17:15. We're talking about God's protection. What is God praying for us as he talks? What kind of protection does he offer us? Not long life, bigger bank accounts, more friends, more influence. Look at John 17:15. Here is Jesus praying. I believe he's still praying this prayer for us. He says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. And you could say the evil one. So God is protecting us from the evil one in our life. The devil wants to destroy us. He wants to grind us as dust. And he slanders, he attacks, he tries to divide. But Jesus is praying that God would protect us from the evil one. And he does that. He does that. Our salvation is assured. Aren't you glad for that? I feel sorry for our friends that believe you can lose your salvation. Can you imagine living to be 90 years old and in their thinking for maybe you're saved at age 5 and for 75, 80 years, 85 years, you've lived the Christian life, you've hung on as best you can, and then right before you die, you lost it. I mean, can you imagine the despair of that? I mean, you think about that must be very, very discouraging to think that way, but God is going to protect us, and there's the prayer for us. Third blessing, may he send help. Let's read it in verse 2. Send help. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Where was the sanctuary when David was writing this? What was the sanctuary? Was it the temple? No, his son was going to build that. Solomon, right? This sanctuary would be synonymous with Zion, right? Sanctuary in Zion. Zion is literal place, but also it's basically the throne room of God, the presence of God. God, may he send help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee from Zion. The prayer is, please send out something, we'll identify that in just a minute, from your presence to strengthen and to help. Now, what comes from the presence of God that strengthens us? The Holy Spirit, okay. Faith, okay. We could talk about God gives the faith. We could go down that road, you know. But okay. Yes, Mike. The Word of God. Maybe you haven't thought of this. I think God sends guardian angels to help us. You say, wait a second, where are you getting that idea? Do you know angels came to minister to our Savior after the wilderness? Isn't that interesting? The devil departed and angels came to minister to him. I wonder what that looked like. I wonder if we could see them, or you know, was that a physical man? I don't understand all. There's a lot of questions there I don't know. But there are angels that came to minister to him. I believe David had guardian angels. Do you believe that? When he was in battle, God protected him. And there were times, and Here's a question. Do you believe you have guardian angels? You believe you do? Somebody said, yeah, you need several, like five or six. I don't know. How many do we have? I don't know. Some people need one. The answer to that is, how many guardian angels do you have? As many as we need. I think that's a good answer. Let's go to Hebrews 1, verse 13. I think this is a great verse. It's almost like the writer of Hebrews almost puts this in there like, come on, guys, you know this, of course, don't you? And a lot of it, you know, when I read this, I think, boy, I want to know more about this. I'd like to know more. But look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. It says, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? That, and he says, you know, of course, the answer is no one. It's only Jesus. And then verse 14, are they, the angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Does anybody want to elaborate on that? What does that mean? You taught that lesson in Sunday school months ago. It was brilliant. I just can't remember what you said.
Well, the ministering spirits minister to all who are saved.
Yes.
Heirs of salvation.
Yes. Okay.
But we are safe.
Yes, yes.
They help us in ways we know nothing of. It's indescribable what God does to preserve our lives.
Yes.
And I don't think we'll know till we get to glory.
For I was telling my wife, there's probably four times in my life I could have been hurt seriously, and the Lord protected me somehow. But one time I fell out of a tree. I was a kid. I fell out about 18 feet up in the air, fell out, my feet happened to catch the bottom branch, and I was swinging this far from the ground. I was like, whoa, what happened? And then I just flipped out. I was fine. Walked away, no problem. I mean, that could have been bad. I mean, I could be a lot worse than I am now. I mean, that's so anyway, but that, I think the Lord protects us, ministers us through angels. That's the third blessing. May he send help from thy sanctuary and strengthen thee from Zion. Number four, the fourth blessing. May he remember all your offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. Verse 3, remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. What in the world is he talking about here? The idea, let's talk about the sacrifices first. And there's two things I want to bring out here. Leviticus 3:16 says, and the priest shall burn them upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire for a sweet savor. And the next phrase, all the fat is the Lord's. You ever read that phrase? All the fat is the Lord's. You say, man, I must be really godly, because I mean that's I am more godly than my you know. No, that's talking about the sacrifice with the fat. And you look at that, and it's like the Lord is pleased when he sees the fat burning on the sacrifice. And I think that is talking about when you have fat in the sacrifice, that is a plump animal. It is bringing the best. And I think when God sees us giving to him the best, he's pleased with that. I think that's part of that. Also, there's another aspect of this. The burnt sacrifice, what was that for? The burnt sacrifice was for what? Sin offering. And Jesus Christ is our perfect sacrifice, and he's the sin offering for us. And it's only after we have offered Jesus Christ on our behalf that we can even offer any other sacrifice. So look what it says here. Verse 3. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. So we've given the burnt sacrifice as a believer because we're under the blood of Jesus Christ. Now we can bring our offerings. You know, our offerings, the best that we have, the best works, the best zeal, whatever we can do for the Lord, matters nothing if we don't have the righteousness of Jesus Christ in our life. And so we see two parts of that. May the Lord, may he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. Look at Nehemiah 13, verse 14, because this is what I think is an illustration of this fact. Because of the burnt offering of Jesus Christ, we can offer our living sacrifice, and we can offer our works, as it were, not for salvation, but for a sacrifice. Look at Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 14. This is Nehemiah praying. You're going to say, wow, this guy is some cocky guy, man. He is really proud of himself. Look at verse 14. It says, remember me, O my God, concerning this, and wipe not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for the offices thereof. He's saying, look at all what I've done for you. Now, is he looking at that for salvation? No, I think what he's saying is, God, I am doing my very best for your glory, and I don't trust in my own merit for salvation, but what you've given me, I've been a good steward. I am just going full blast for you. I'm trying to reflect your glory. I think that's what he's saying. So here's our application. Are we living or trying to demonstrate by our life a God that is glorious? Are we reflecting his glory? The burnt offering of the covering for sins, and it says, may God remember that we have a sacrifice that covers our sin and that we can do nothing to please God if he has not received that burnt offering in our place. But are we reflecting God's glory? That's number 4. May remember all your offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. The fifth blessing is in verse 4. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. Look at Psalm 21, verse 2. It says, thou hast given him his heart's desire and hast not withholden the request of his lips. Do those two verses remind you of another verse that springs to mind? There it is. Delight thyself also in the Lord. The desire, he shall give thee the desires of your heart. Say, oh, good, I've been wanting a Lamborghini. Oh, this is wonderful. What do I have to do to get it? Yeah, so what that's saying is bring our desires in line with the desires that God would have for us. It's the idea of being assigned a task, and you heard this phrase, we own it. You ever heard that phrase? You own it. So you say, hey, go, you're in charge of picking up all the sticks in this area. You say, oh, I got to go pick up sticks, okay. I picked up 4, can I quit now? You know, that's what my kids do. It's okay. You know, but when you own it, you say, you know what? I've been assigned a job, and now I want to clean this area. This is my goal. So we make God's desires our desires, and we're walking in line with him, and we can do whatever we want to do. That's a wonderful, wonderful thought. So grant thee according to thine own heart. We need to adjust our desires to God's desires, and we will have joy in life. This word, delight thyself, that word delight has the idea of luxury. You say, what in the world? So you say, luxuriate yourself in, delight thyself also in the Lord. You know, so think of it as like, oh, this is wonderful. This is great. You ever had a time where maybe you can relax and how many of you are morning people? I mean, you love springing out of bed and you're going to get your coffee and you go sit in your spot. Maybe it's outside. You listen to the birds chirp and maybe you're watching the sunrise. How many of you that describes you? I don't like you people. My time is about 11:30 at night. It's so calm and still, you know, and the moon is shining. I mean, it's wonderful. Okay. But now, can you imagine? You're looking forward to something. You say, oh, I can finally sit down in my chair with my coffee. Oh, this is wonderful. That's the idea of delighting yourself in the Lord. You know, we encourage you. I encourage you. You hear it oftentimes. Read your Bible every day. It's like, oh, I got to read my Bible. Okay. Okay, read my Bible. No, that's not. Delight in God's Word. Delight in the Lord. Delight in what he's asked you to do. And it talks about, come, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You get under God's servitude. You be his slave. It's wonderful. It is fantastic. So here he says, grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. The fifth. Now that's fifth right there, isn't it? Grant thee to thine own heart. The sixth blessing. May we rejoice in thy salvation. Verse 5, we will rejoice in thy salvation. In the name of our God, we will set up our banners, rejoicing. Do you remember David? He got in trouble for doing this. Remember this? He got so excited about bringing the ark. It says he danced before the Lord. Boy, he stirred up some criticism, didn't he? Look at that guy. He's supposed to be a king. Kings don't act that way. He was excited. Now, I don't know what he was doing. And I grew up in a church that believed in rejoicing, that Tabernacle believed that if you can holler and scream at a football game, holler and scream at a basketball game, why can't you be excited at church? You know, so anyway, that's, in fact, nobody gets excited when a preacher goes into overtime. I can't understand that. That's extra time, you know, but that's like, you know, anyway, but may we rejoice in thy salvation. Do you believe Jesus ever shouted for joy? Probably. Can you think of a situation? When I tell you, you're going to go, oh, of course.
Lazarus had to have been one happy experience. But that was one of his best friends.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm sure Lazarus was happy, but I bet Jesus was happy as well. I'm sure, no doubt about that. Is there ever a time when Jesus shouted with a loud voice, filled with joy? When he said on the cross, with a loud voice, "It is finished." Do you think he was joyful in that? In fact, do you remember the Hebrews 12:2? "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross." Once he got through the cross, "It is finished," man. He was excited. Why was Jesus shouting for joy? He was fulfilling exactly what the Father had for him. He had accomplished that, shouting for joy. You know, only believers have joy like that. You know, you think about the martyrs that we read about. They're joyously going to their death. How's that possible? They're glorifying God. They're radiating His glory. The people in the gladiator scene, where's that thing? The Colosseum. They said Christians die differently. Other people don't die this way. It's amazing. So may we rejoice in thy salvation. In verse 7, the seventh blessing, it may the Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Jesus prayed, "Not my will, but thy be done." So there's a blessing there. Now, because of that, quickly, there's an assurance. Because of these blessings, we can have assurance. There's personal testimony, verse 6, personal testimony of God's providential work. There's the word anointed. That's the word. That's the Messiah involved with this. It has a purpose in mind. Verse 7, there's an assurance that it's not human strength of human means that we can trust in. It's God. Now you think about these horses. They bred these horses for battle. They trained them. They sculpted the chariots. I mean, they put time, effort, and money into these things. And here comes this army. You could really trust in that. Now let me ask you. America has the largest, most powerful army in the world. Do we trust in that, or do we trust in our God? Let me ask you. Do you have a security system at home? Now I'm not saying that's wrong. But if you are only trusting in your security system, that's foolish, is it not? We trust, we do our best that we can, but ultimately God is the one we trust. And so we have to trust the Lord. And it's because of these blessings. Verse 8, those who trust in human measures are fallen. Look at verse 8. It says, they are brought down. These are the ones that trust in the chariots. They're brought down and fallen, but we, the ones who trust in the Lord, are risen and stand upright. We have an eternal future ahead of us. Let me ask you a question. Where's Pharaoh's chariots today? Bottom of the sea. Yes, I've seen a video that they show circular coral. And they said, that doesn't naturally happen. This might be the remnant, so who knows. But they did not accomplish what Pharaoh thought because God is more powerful. And look at verse 9. It ends with this, save, Lord. Don't you love that? Save, Lord. Don't have to have long prayers. But Lord knows, He listens. God has promised to hear and to answer. Okay, that's Psalm 20. Anybody want to add something to that? Thank you for being here tonight. I hope that's an encouragement to you. And I tell you, that's a wonderful, wonderful blessing. Seven blessings. And I believe God answered. I believe Jesus is still praying those for us, I believe. What an encouragement it should be to us. Okay, the prayer sheets are out there. Can